Hello, everybody, and welcome to Show Hoppers Culprits Season 1, Episode 8 of Forest. I'm Kurt, joined by my former high school teacher, Mr. Sal.
Can I shake and zip first, or are we professed for time?
I knew that was going to be your line. I thought about putting that really? In the set. I mean, that was a really funny line. Just a,
I love it.
It's a good line. And you know what? These are the right questions that Hawks should be asking in the given circumstances.
Exactly. So, yeah.
But we're here with the season finale of Culprits. Series finale, too, probably.
Probably it, series finale.
It's a limited series.
Watching it, yeah. I think it's series finale.
It would appear so. So, yeah. How did we feel about it? I've been pretty up on the series. You liked it as well throughout. But, I mean, but it's the final episode. Is it a flop, or did we really like it? Let's see our ratings.
Ratings.
So, I've written down, like, my rating and my reasonings.
Yeah,
I've realized now I have not at all thought about your ratings. Like, I never once had it passed my mind watching this episode what you could have thought of it.
Okay, that's so fine. Take a shot in the dark.
Yeah, I'll take a shot in the dark. You know, judging by, well, actually, I did think about you while I watched this episode. There is a moment, and I know you know this moment as well. Perhaps the listeners do. Okay. There's one moment in this episode where you were on top of the world.
Oh, I know. And then I got dropped down low.
Then you got pulled down to my depths. So there was a brief moment. Listeners, you will learn later on if you keep watching. But there was a moment. I'm sure you respect the series.
I had the thought right then. And then it was ripped out of
me too.
Head.
I was like, man, he's really, he must be loving this. He must be yucking it up. It was the interest for me. Okay, all right, anyway, that aside, it gave me some highs, it gave me some lows, it made you feel something. There's a lot of time jumping here. I've liked the time fluidity. I think you have as well. Hawks is a cool character. Diane's an interesting character. We see more of her. They tie back in her car thing with her rationale. We see why she's did what she's done. We see David, I guess, make a play or a ploy. He's played a lot of people here. Instead of Diane doing it or Brain, it's him. Ugh. But does it all, you know, tie together nicely for you and ends with Joe and Jules together again? I think you liked the finale. I don't think it's anything for you. The question is whether you gave it a 9 or a 10.
Versus a 10.
Okay. Yeah. I think you really liked this finale. I think this scratches a lot of your itches. Gave it a 10.
Okay. You've been so high on the series. I mean,
I have been.
This is sounding like if they stick this landing, this is an all-time series for you. I don't know if they stuck it enough for you or not. I think that you're very satisfied. I mean, I know we always talk about how we want to see closure on the story. We want to see it wrapped up so that if there's not a season 2, it's satisfying. But we like to see, you know, a door left open just in case there is a season 2. They didn't really leave too much open here. I think they pretty much have finished their story. And I mean, it's based on a novel that's just one novel. So I don't think this was ever intended to be more than one season. It is announced as a limited series. So I think you can forgive the fact that they didn't really leave the door open very much. But I think you're very satisfied with the way it ended. I know you also love to look for the bittersweet, right? That you don't want it to be too happy an ending, especially if there's not a season 2. And considering that, you know, this does end with Joe and Jules getting back together, which is a nice happy ending. You know, Joe and Diane kind of get what they want, but we are shown in this closing montage here, not closing, but toward the end montage, like all the deaths along the way. This series could have been called Bodies, probably more aptly than Bodies was called Bodies.
You know, you're very right, yeah. And that could have been called Culprits in a way.
Yes, yeah. So anyway, I think you went into this very high in the series, wanting to love the series. I think it delivered enough for you. I think you gave it a 10 out of 10.
I absolutely did. I loved this finale.
Me too. It was a great. Very good finale.
It hit all the marks. You know, it's
it did.
It's a good. It wrapped it up very nicely. Everything for the characters is interesting. Like Diane, Officer obviously ends up dying. Azar.
Yep.
Rationale makes sense.
Look,
obviously Hawks. Duels.
If you had told me there was going to be a double-double cross, I probably would have believed you. And there was a double-double cross, and it was pretty cool. It was a freaking cool double cross. Then a double-double cross.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have believed. I was shocked when Azar shot Officer. Like, completely shocked.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I could not have told you date. Like, even throughout the course of this finale, I was like, I don't know who to believe what's going on. Like, even from last episode, we're talking about whether or not Hawks is working for Diane, right? If this is all a test, you don't know the positivity. Even throughout the course of this finale, I'm like, is Hawks working with Diane? Is this some sort of, like, other thing they're doing? At some point, I was convinced, like, right as Hawks was coming in for the reveal, like, is Jules working with Hawks?
God, really?
Yeah, I was like, well, wait a second. Actually, they did meet only 24 hours after the heist. Like, did Hawks know and, like, he planted Jules? Because, like, Jules was pretty forward with Joe.
Oh, my gosh. That's really funny.
I'm like, maybe.
Man. Yeah. You know, and this is all a credit to them because they set this up so that any of those possibilities would have been believable. Mm-hmm. So, and there's the fact that they went the way they went, it makes sense, but those would have also made sense. So it is really cool that they did that. Plus, I was impressed with the fact that they actually installed some emotional depth to this episode beyond just Joe. Like, there was emotional depth to Azar, and there was emotional depth to Diane. I mean, maybe even Officer to a certain extent. I mean, really, I was very impressed with this finale. I don't know why people don't like this series more. What are they not like?
So I'll tell you this right now. This series is overall on IMDb lower rated than A Murder at the End of the World.
That's ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous.
My God.
We've covered A Murder at the End of the World, listeners. Not that great.
It has its moments, but it's definitely not that great. I mean, it's... I've said this the whole season. Like, I think this is what people wanted when they watched The Old Man.
I agree. Right? I looked through some of the reviews on IMDb. I skimmed through them. And a lot of them cited, like, unrealistic, right? Very unrealistic, which I wholeheartedly agree, right? There's a lot of things here that are unrealistic. Yeah, that's fine. But that's not the point of the series, right? You're not here baked in realism. What would annoy me is if character incentives, like, it didn't make sense. Like, why is David doing that, right? Like, why is Diane doing that? That makes no sense for a character. That would be something that bothers me, and that would be unrealistic. But, like, the fact they're doing the things they're doing are, like, you know, they're just barely opening up a safe, or the fact that Diane's testing them in this way. Yeah, that's probably doesn't really happen, but it's like, it makes sense why she's doing it. Like, they've rationalized why she's doing it, and it's pretty cool to watch. So I like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't feel like I needed to suspend my disbelief that much for this series. I really don't.
Even for the action-y parts, like, episode one, when we see David helping out, like, his boss, you know, he's killed a bunch of guys to get his mob boss out of there. That's, you know, that's probably, like, the height of the unrealism, honestly, and, like, the heist itself, and, like, they're taking constant gunfire and are fine. Yeah. Other than that, like, all the other action sequences and stuff, I would say pretty realistic. Even the forest fight between Specialist and Devil, that was even boring.
For sure. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I really, like, I'm not buying that this gets, a 3 or 4 point hit on people's ratings because it's unrealistic. I'm not buying that.
You could say it with so many other series. Like, okay. I'll cite a series that, like, this reminded me of, which is, like, Better Call Saul, somewhat Breaking Bad, but more Better Call Saul with, like, the slowness in some parts, right? Yeah. Just showing the detail.
Yeah.
That's unrealistic in some ways, too. Like, you look at it and go, oh, come on. Really? Really you did that? I mean, I won't say anything specific because they're all later season examples. I guess this one's not too much of a spoiler. This is in season one, the billboard thing, right? Like, that's really someone's going to do that? No.
Right. But. Right. Yeah, that's to me, that is like, if you can't suspend your disbelief for this series, I don't know what you're suspending your disbelief for.
Exactly.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's the point. So when I see the reviews saying, oh, unrealistic, it's like, yeah. So there's a lot of TV. Like, that's the.
Is that the primary criticism?
I skimmed and I saw a lot of people saying that. There's okay. probably other bits of criticism, but that's one that stuck out to me that I was like, nah, you're wrong. Like, this is not a good reason to be outvoting it. In my opinion.
I don't know why you don't like this series. I really don't. I feel like the series has something for everybody.
I don't think it, well, actually, it does have pretty good romance between Jules and I.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a love story. There's great action sequences. There's emotional heft to it. It's stylized. Like, the style is really cool. Mm-hmm. It's got double crosses and triple crosses. It's I don't know, man.
You don't know what's happening next. Like,
I don't. I'll tell you what. I am anxious to see what Jay Blakeson does next. He's, I think, the creator of the series. I think that's his name. I'll double check my. I'll cite my sources in a minute, but I'm pretty sure that's his name. I'm really excited to see what he does next.
I'm as well, because honestly, like, you know, we always joke about Chekhov's blank.
You're right. Yeah, the series, exactly.
And, you know, stuff they bring up. I, you know, I was thinking back about it, and you know, when you have to characterize a character and like explain or show their. You know how they are the way they are to the viewer, Joe, Petros, or David, really, when they were showing him off, the way they really introduced us now, looking back in hindsight, is they just showed us his everyday life and what he valued. Right. And most of it didn't end up mattering. I guess the family aspect did, but like him trying to open up a store, Kyle Bedrosian, like him trying to hide his money, it didn't really matter. Mm-hmm. For the plot, but it mattered to get to know David, right? Understand, exactly. Like, what he values and, like, just about him as a person and himself. Like, the fact he still called in from the accident and, like, him hiding the money. He cared about the money.
Yeah.
He wants to open up a shop. The hardships he's going through with racism in his town. And it was really good. And I loved how in the credits scene they showed the ruined money.
Because it wasn't ruined, though. It was vacuum sealed.
It was vacuum sealed, but like it's dumped down. It's getting you know, it's getting like taken away. The rains. Yeah. He didn't dig it, or he didn't bury it deep enough. It looks like,
right,
or in some swampy area, and it's been flooded away. And I love that, because it's really them showing like, yeah, we didn't forget the money. Like, we're aware of the money. We just it's not important. Like, that's not the point at all.
Yeah. Where did he go? He didn't go back to get the money. He went to Canada. To be with Jules. Like, he had a choice to make there, and he made that choice. You know, in fact, you know, it's possible that he did go back and just dump the money.
I guess hypothetically.
It's possible, but probably not. But I mean, there's the possibility there. But all that stuff in the beginning is the stuff that made it so that when we got to. Actually, probably my least favorite episode of the season of the series, which was the "Let Us Sit, Bent, and Talk Straight" that episode there. I don't remember what episode that was. Five, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Something.
I think it was five. When we got to that episode, and it was Azar and Yusuf who were on the receiving end of Joe. Like, Joe was like coming in and terrorizing them. Like, we didn't feel like they were being terrorized. We felt like, what's wrong? It's just Joe.
Joe doing this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But if they had shown us, you know, Yusuf's life and Azar's life before that, we would have been terrified to see Joe and Officer coming. Right. But we know this is the guy who's trying to open a bistro. This is the guy who calls in a hit and run. This is that guy. This is the guy who drops off his kids at school every day and says, "Be you." You know, and this is our Joe, and I think it's completely paid off that we got to know him so much in the early episodes. And I thought the early episodes were great too. I didn't have a problem with them.
Mm-hmm. And me either. I thought they were great. Kyle Bedrosian, obviously, great minor villain. And going back to how. This series did a great job of me not knowing what's happening next. Like, even for the finale, Officer, a human reader of sorts, I was questioning if she was aware of Joe's plan or David's plan.
Or Azar was going to kill her. She totally missed that one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, I feel pretty strongly that this is a really worthwhile series to watch. I feel like it's very enjoyable, very cool, and has enough emotional impact to really make it a great series.
I wholeheartedly agree. This will definitely be on my recommendations list now. I'm gonna be now that I've seen the finale.
Yep.
Hasn't been sullied in any way. This is tops, definitely.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah, so I don't know if I ever said it outright, but yes, I did give it a 10 out of 10.
Oh yeah. I think you did, but okay. If you went to 8 out of 10, solid. All right.
Definitely worthy of an 8. No, 10.
8 out of 8.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's go see if we can guess each other's favorite scenes.
Mm.
Favorite scenes.
There's one scene that's a lot longer than the rest here.
That's true.
I don't know what. So the long scene that I'm saying here. What's the starting cutoff for you?
Are we talking about the double cross?
The job, as I labeled it.
The job. Well, I would say from the time they get into the ticket, what do they call it?
Like the ticket booth area. Is that what you're?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, see, that probably makes more sense. I was going from when, like, they do Operation, like, Wedding Day in the tunnel.
Nah, I think that's a different scene. I think from the time they get into the ticket booth and Diane and David are looking for it, looking for the key, and right up through David leaving the ticket booth. So it's just the ticket booth. Not ticket booth. What do they call this place? I can't remember what they called it. Ticket hall. That's what they called it.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, then I will guess that for you.
And I will guess that for you.
You've gotten me right.
Woohoo!
Did I get you right or no?
You know, it's a really reasonable scene to pick. Like, probably.
That is
probably
the meat in the bones. But did you with the final scene?
No.
Okay.
Probably the best scene is that ticket hall scene.
All right. What did you say?
But there's a scene that just hit me in a way that I was just not expecting to be hit episode. It was Diane. It was Diane in the bathroom with Vincent.
Oh, in the bathroom with Vincent. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it hit me really unexpectedly hard. And I think it's because I figured out in that scene that she was doing this because of the car. So in that scene, I'm watching it. I'm like, oh my God, Diane didn't just rob this guy to rob this guy. This is a revenge thing. Diane actually has emotions that we haven't seen before. She's actually grieving the loss of her sister and niece. And this is the guy that she deems responsible. That's what this is all about. That's why she put the red car there. And when I had that moment of realization, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
I did not realize the red car until later when Diane just spoon feeds us
her
hatred. She's like, so he, you know, the whole scandal, which actually is based on, I don't think they cited a car company, but this is based on a true scandal. Do you know that?
Oh, is it really? They did. It was the Eden car.
Okay. General Motors had this.
Really?
Yes. In the last decade, I think. Yes.
Okay.
It is. About a decade ago. In 2014, General Motors finally recalled 800,000 cars due to, like, some faulty thing in it. But they got sued. Let's see here. Basically, what they go over that for Hawks kind of happened in real life. I don't actually know the ending consequences. Yeah. But at some point, there are some people in General Motors that allegedly deferred acting and getting a recall
before
2014. And apparently they knew as early as, like, they had faulty switches. The lawsuit alleges that GM knew about faulty switches since 2001, but did not do any recalls until 2014. And alleged that some members of General Motors were aware of it, but willfully didn't act on the knowledge because it wasn't worth the price of the recall. The recall would be extensive and costly. So,
yeah, that's actually a premise of Fight Club. Is one of the characters in Fight Club. It works for an insurance company, and it's an equation, just like Fox says here, or Hawks, not Fox. So Hawks says here, that it was an equation. Like, it's laid out in Fight Club where he says, you know, if the cost of settling the lawsuits is less than the cost of doing the recall, then we don't do a recall. So, I mean, I don't know. This felt a little more unique because this kind of unilaterally did come down to Vincent Hawks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The in real life, or at least not, I shouldn't say in real life. In the General Motors case, it was not like a
single
individual.
So here, the board did vote to do the recall, but that were majority held by a company that was 52% owned by Vincent Hawks. So, but that's not even the scene I'm talking about. I'm talking about the bathroom scene here.
Yeah, yeah.
So first of all, she gives him this choice, which I think is a really cool choice. I'll give you your money back if you apologize and resign from all your positions. So basically, she says you can have your money or you can have your reputation, but you can't have both. And I think that is a very cool kind of ransom. Or blackmail, or whatever you want to call it. That is something that I don't think you see very often. That, yes, I will give you the choice, your money or your reputation. Those are your choices. You can't have both. So I liked that a lot. But I thought it was really interesting seeing Diane have a cause, because we haven't seen that from Diane. She's been so cold and calculating throughout the whole series. For her to come out now and clearly have a passion about this and a reason for doing it, she's got a cause. That was so unexpected to me and so interesting, and elicited some emotions in me that I didn't think I was ever going to have in this series. And I actually wrote here at this point, and so I can't prove this, obviously, but it's inserted without any skip spaces or anything in my notes. At the end of that scene, was Vincent in charge of the car company that made the defective car that killed her sister and niece, thus the red car? Like, I actually wrote that right there.
Yeah, so, sure you did.
So, I mean, I can't prove it, but you just have to believe me. When I made that connection and then had that in mind for the rest of the episode, I just thought, wow, this is so much cooler than I expected it to be. So they didn't even show that in the previously on, by the way.
The red car.
Her talking about. Well, no, they showed the red car.
Oh,
but they didn't. They didn't show her talking about her sister dying in the car crash.
Yeah, and when we were talking about that last episode,
yeah,
I insinuated she was being very sinister about the way she was saying it.
Right. Exactly. So
no, seems like.
But that's a credit to the show. They set it up so that you don't know if she's telling the truth or if she's lying. And so when this happens, you find out that she was telling the truth, it hits you a lot harder than you would expect. At least it did me. Hit me a lot harder than I expected it to, because half of me was thinking that she had set it up herself.
Yeah, she had killed her family.
Mm-hmm.
It does a lot for Diane's character, the fact that she's not just a crook, right? She's still a crook, but she's a crook with a purpose.
Exactly.
She's a righteous cause.
Yeah, she's got a cause. She's got some sort of moral push behind her, which is really, really unexpected and interesting. So that's why I went with that scene, even though I do acknowledge that probably the ticket hall scene is the better scene.
Yeah, and that's the scene I went with. I'm not going to really get into it because we'll chat about that during the recap. It's a long scene.
It is.
It's a good deal of the episode, I would consider it. I mean, a good chunk of time, too. But all right. I say good. You didn't pick the best scene for your favorite scene.
I didn't.
Your favorite scene.
I did. Well, that's why it's called favorite scenes.
Well, we'll see how that helps you in who said it.
Okay.
Who said it?
I have three quotes.
All right.
Points, Mr. Salz, for all the marbles for the entire season of Culprits.
just it all comes down to just this.
It all comes down to this. It's like
nothing
a standard
else
game show. Yes.
Yeah.
But they're a pittance sum when it comes to a poultry sum when it comes to the finale three quotes.
It's like an NBA basketball game. all that really matters is the last 3 minutes.
So, I do have a veritable difficulty quote, so if you're doing bad on the first two, I can give you a layup for the last one.
Aw, how nice, I guess.
I don't think you'll do bad on the first two.
All right.
So it's justification for you to make the last one extra hard.
Okay.
All right. First quote, I just need to shout.
That is Vincent in the bathroom in my favorite scene.
Exactly.
So yeah, there's a very capable man outside. All I need to do is I just need to shout and you'll be dead meat. That's not exactly what he says, but that's the implication. Diane's got the gun to his head. And he doesn't really feel very threatened because he's got his guy outside. But she puts him in his place. It says, he'll be dead before he gets in here.
I mean, very fair. Because of the gun to his face.
Yep.
Okay. Good job.
So we don't need to talk about that scene anymore because I've already talked about it.
Second quote. You agreed to the rules.
I have an idea. I think I know who this is, but there's a very good chance I'm completely wrong about this. I think this is Fixer in the car to David after he picks him up for giving the sign. And now David has broken the rules.
Spot on, Mr. All right. Yes, we see at the end, it looks like the end of the day. It's night. Hawk's people drop off David with information, such as the signal. He does the signal on the sign, which is like a triangle.
Yep.
It was the signal for Diane. The next day, he's out by the waterfront, and five really cool guys dressed in black. Which, this is mad intimidating. Like, I don't know what I would do if I was in a park and I saw this happen to like an individual. Like, you can't step in.
I know. Not with, there are five guys, I think.
Yeah, there's five guys. They just grab him and take him into a car.
Yep.
And it's not like the car's close by either. They walk him across like a good chunk of field.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
maybe this is what people have trouble with being unrealistic.
You know, that's fair, but no, like something like this is like they could have just made the car right next to the path. Like, they're just doing this for, you know, the
effect style.
Yeah, it's style. Yeah. Thank you. That's the good word for it. Like, you very easily could have fixed this plot wise. They just chose not to because it's cooler. Fine.
It's the rule of cool.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, so, and when he's in the car, Fixer tells him that and basically wants him out, but he begrudgingly agrees to take him to Diane because he has something to say from Fuse. Go from there.
Who is now dead.
Is indeed now dead. And it looks like it is news to Fixer.
Sounds that way.
You would think Fixer would be on the loop on these things, but apparently not. All right then, Mr. Sal, can you get this last one?
Oh, I hope
so. On the harder difficulty?
Okay.
World's going crazy.
Oh, I know this. Oh, world's going crazy. Oh, man. I can hear that quote. Well, it's going crazy. Oh, it's Jules in the bar in Las Vegas because his conference has been to Joe. I'm a Joe.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Because his conference has been canceled due to COVID.
And that's something too, right? Now that like COVID has passed, it's been a long time. Yeah. This is a COVID podcast, really.
It is.
It's interesting to see in media COVID depiction.
I really enjoy it when they acknowledge like that, because it doesn't necessarily seem like our world until something like that, where it's like, oh no, this is the same world we live in.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I like when they do that, but yeah, this is a cool scene too.
Yes, it's good to see their origin, and it also so Joe's in Las Vegas 24 hours after the heist. He's looking at his new passport at the bar. Jules sits down, strikes up a conversation with him, even buys him a drink. And presumably this is how the relationship blossoms. But I felt, watching this, since it's the first scene, to me, gave credence to the idea that, well, if Joe met Jules just 24 hours after the heist, maybe he really did get with him for cover. Like that. And maybe things changed afterward. I'm not saying he doesn't love him, but
right,
that's pretty quick after like a big event in your life, and like knowing you have to kind of you get my point.
I do. And Jules is very forward. Like I think I would have even picked up that I was being flirted with here.
Oh yeah,
that's saying something, because I don't usually pick up on that. I don't usually get flirted with anyway. So, but the point is, that was pretty blatant.
It was very blatant, and so that's why later on, I go, wait a second, actually. Maybe Hawks is somehow in bed with Jules. Yeah. Maybe Jules is double-crossing David somehow.
Yeah.
not the case, actually. I was getting too much in the weeds there, but.
So I want to point out two things. So this starts the bookend of this episode with David, with Jules and Joe. So this whole episode, the whole finale is bookended by Jules and Joe, which is kind of cool because it kind of is what the series was ultimately about, was Joe's journey to find himself and the importance that he placed on his relationship with Jules. So I do like that part of it. But the second part of it is they make very deliberate word choice here. And I feel like they did a really good job in the series of making intentional word choices that really mattered, that really meant something. Because when Jules sees his passport and he says, Joseph, or are you a Joe? And remember, the last thing that we heard him say at the end of the previous episode was, I'm going to be me. I'm going to be David. Right. And now he says at the beginning of this episode, I'm a Joe. And by the end of this episode, he has proven Joe is who he is. I really love that.
I like when series utilize, this series has done a pretty good job of it too, of names, like the name of your character and what it means for them. So Joe has had Joe, David, Muscle.
Yep.
All the other characters have had either their real name and their heist name, or just their heist name.
Yeah.
And I guess citing another series, they a little too obvious there. Citing another series that does that very well, that we always call back to, is, I already talked about it, Better Call Saul. We did cover the last season of that, by the way. But, you know, it goes, there's Jimmy, Slipping Jimmy, Saul Goodman. There's a third one.
Gene.
Oh, Gene, yes. No, yes.
I don't remember Gene's last name, but Gene.
Yeah. Who knows? Gene.
Yeah. There's a whole. We've already talked about this series in this episode too. The old man. I mean, Jeff Bridges has so many names, but there's actually two really awesome soliloquies about names in that. At least two that I'm remembering right now. There might even be more about names that I'm remembering. That are just amazing. It's, you know, one of them, basically the upshot is, it doesn't matter what you call him. Your name is just a sound that comes out of your mouth when you see him. He's still him. Here, right? You. Yeah. And then the other one was about using a name against someone, like turning it on its edge and like stabbing someone with a name. So, That was an awesome theme of that season, of that series. But I think it comes up here too. Not so much the name necessarily is not what's the most important thing, but just his self-identity, right?
Yeah.
He says to the kids every time he drops them off, be you, right? And then we thought that he had figured out who, you know, you was at the end of the last episode when he says, I'm going to be me, I'm going to be David. And now in this episode, he's saying, I'm a Joe. Like, and he really is. By the end of the episode, it is very clear.
Total that Joe.
He is Shmo. Joe. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Sal, you've gone a passing score.
I should say.
3 for 3.
Can't do any better than that. So.
A passer. Yes. So good job. Congratulations. I want to be the first and the last. Congratulations.
That's right. I don't know. Listeners, go ahead and email us, showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. Prove Kurt wrong. Prove that he's not the last to congratulate me.
Well, do you want to go on to the recap then?
Yes, we can do that.
All right, so we spoke about a lot of the scenes early on in the recap. We did the Las Vegas with Joe and Jules. We did the bathroom with Hawks and Diane, your favorite scene. And then we covered when Hawks people drop off David, he calls over Fixer, he's in the car with Fixer, and he takes him to Diane in a stable.
Yep.
And in that stable, Diane and David see one another. He gives the message, Fuse knows where Hawks's box is, and Diane's actually...
Hawks's boxes.
She's actually pretty honest with them, right? Like, okay, Hawks owned the Morello vault. All of his money is in that box via cryptocurrency. So that's why I Yeah, so that's what the key opens up, is the box that has all the money. He doesn't have access to the money without the key. We can't access the money without the box.
So. Yeah. And this is where I could see somebody saying, this is not in character for Diane. Like, she just divulged the exact truth. Like, she didn't lie at all. She didn't deceive at all. She didn't test him at all. Just she divulged it exactly as it was, which is, I think, is in itself a little surprising. So it's one of the things that was unexpected to me. But I think it's really understandable when you consider the emotion she now has attached to this. But I had already realized at this point that this is the guy responsible for her sister's death. And so it made sense to me that she would have an emotional response to hearing this information and just pull Joe right in.
Yeah. Yeah. She's very, yeah. And she acts very emotional too. When yeah, Joe's absolutely not immediately telling what Fuse said, she threatens to bring someone in here and kill him. She's,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's not the, well, maybe that's the proper strategy, but she seems emotional. Certainly.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's reasonable. And we're going to find out why now. So.
Yeah. And then after David shows Diane the location on the map, which, by the way, David has done so much with people's phones and stuff. When she hands over her phone to David, I thought he was going to do something nefarious with it.
Oh.
Or not nefarious, but like he was going to do something to get her in some way. I was like, oh. David with the phone. He's going to do a hack. Do a hack. Murder the end of the world. David, so after showing her the location, he pushes her to leave now. Like, we got to go ASAP. Mm-hmm. But she needs 48 hours on the low end to build a crew. So
yeah,
he tries to appeal to her that, hey, he has a family now, two kids, and they're in danger. They're on the run. There's people after them. And they aren't in this game, right? They will not last. They will make mistakes. So him and Diane walk and talk. He explains the car scandal. And we already talked about this. And kind of her origin as to why she has this grudge against Hawks. Hawks' decision to not recall the car ultimately led to the death of her niece and sister. So
right.
With this information, David thinks he could source two people quick, already vetted for the crew.
Yeah.
Re-vetted people. Glad to see that title does not go away.
You never lose your vetting.
Never lose your vetting. We go back to the past hotel room with David and injured officer.
Mm-hmm.
David's all set for Vegas, but he is concerned for officer. So this is how we kind of get the origin of his emergency phone he was holding on to.
Earlier in the season. I had thought that these were just issued to all of them, and just in case it would, you know, anybody need to get in touch with anybody else. But no, this was specifically a David and officer thing.
Yep. And we now know why. So they have emergency SIM cards just in case of emergency only. He heads out and they share like a brief moment. You know, best of luck with them. And off David goes. And then we come back to the present where David meets back up with officer.
Explain this to me, because I think I get it, but he had destroyed his SIM card. So he didn't have her phone saved anywhere, but maybe he just knew the number.
I feel like at this point either he knew the number, or like they have other means to get a hold of each other at this point. Maybe they have actually just shared cell phone detail. They did the weird encryption thing to talk with each other. I don't know. I couldn't tell you how he actually got a hold of her. He could have already known her number from before, because he had the former SIM card. And just because you destroy a SIM card doesn't mean you lose the numbers on it.
Oh, they could be saved on his phone, is what you're saying?
Yeah, you could save contacts on your phone. Like your iPhone, for example.
I know what you're talking about.
Just because you destroy the SIM card, you can store contact information on SIM cards, but I think that's kind of antiquated now.
That's true.
Actually pretty antiquated when I think about it.
Yeah.
Maybe they just happen to see each other.
Well, no, she's not saying that.
That would be funny, though.
That would be. Hey, you want Eugene Crawford here, too? Oh, my God.
You want to join a job? So he comes. And he actually successfully lies to Officer. She seems emotional here, glad to see he's alive, saying, hey, the fuse just died and he just barely got away. He ran away.
Mm-hmm.
When really he was captured. But officers.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a lie.
It's a lie. I mean, he got out of capture, but like, he's at the very least, it's a lie by omission, but he did not run away. So I would call it a lie.
Officer's off her game in this episode.
He is. And she's annoyed. She's annoyed by David's, secrecy in this way, but she's glad to see him back. And he reveals that he got Diane, found her, and she needs a job, right? She needs help with the job. Mm-hmm. And David needs Diane, or not needs Diane, needs Officer to do this job. So after she makes him really show that he needs her, she figures why not. He's in.
Yeah. Nice.
They're getting the crew back together. They then go over to the park. Azar's there. Apparently, she left Officer shortly after they lost David. I guess she's not a big fan of her. We'll see.
Understandable. Understandable.
Yep.
I never got out of Officer that she gave up her father's location.
No,
but Yusuf, yes, but
we don't. It looks like she went after Malik after Officer. So
yeah,
she probably didn't, but he doesn't know.
Maybe
that.
Gave him a name.
And even if she she could have given him information, and even if she didn't, I mean, she
it's bad
Azar,
optics.
Yeah, Azar still sees her as a traitor.
Yeah,
and she's just gonna correlate the two, right? She did betray them in a certain way, and. But that might not even be necessarily true.
Right.
She only also could have.
Yep.
That's the way Azara
makes sense.
She's alone in the park watching children. She has nowhere to go. So she's in on the job, too. So David brings the rest of the culprits back together to Diane. She's not apologizing, but the job is on. So we have the four of them plus two henchmen. In a van, Fixer drops them off. They break into the Metro underground maintenance tunnel, walk down a Metro line with 90% confidence of living. And once they run into some guards that are blocking the way, Officer and David use Operation Wedding Day to get past them.
I called it the old drunken bride Trojan horse trick.
I forgot the old. Yeah, I was gonna say.
The old business card razor blade.
Yeah, the old business card razor blade trick. You got to check out Better Call Saul for that one, too. A lot of Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
So the henchmen stick behind to pretend to be guards. David has Officer Nazar prepare the lift. So they go off. And him and Diane go to the ticket entrance to, or what's it called? Sorry, ticket hall?
The ticket hall.
Okay. To look for the box. So here they're looking around for the box. David appears to have a guilty mind. My favorite scene here. He leaves a pistol, noteworthy, at the ticket booth. He sees Hawk's cigarette of choice, right? Am I correct here?
That is correct, okay. Yes. Cordo.
And they put a coin in it, and boom, it's the box.
There it is.
Very handy. He takes his gun, puts it to Diane, demands the key. On her necklace, and from it, he takes the key out of the holder, so he still has the necklace, but the key is separate. He then calls in Hawks' people. They bring everyone in, and it was indeed a trap. He's double-crossed Diane. Hawks, and everyone's back in, too, including the henchman, Officer, Azar. So Hawks comes in, gloating as can be, brings out the red car, right next to Diane. And they kind of have a bit of a philosophical argument here. Between, Diane feels what he did is wrong, and I think we agree what he did was morally wrong. But, he kind of argues back to Diane that, hey, think of all the people you've killed to get what you've wanted, Diane, right? You're not so squeaky clean either.
That's right. I never killed a 9-year-old. Neither have I, intentionally.
You know you're winning the argument when you got that. David hands the key holder, so not the actual key, to Hawks. So he's hooting and hollering. He's glad to have the key. And while he's distracted, David grabs the second pistol he left for himself, kills some guards, and holds Hawks at gunpoint to do what I call the ultimate reversal. Right now, now that he has Hawks, the boss man, his underlings do submit, which that was brave of them to say the least. I mean, I feel like the especially after the fact when they say they have no allegiance towards him, it's like, well, why did you submit then? Like, if you have no allegiance, you just shoot him and David and then don't submit. You run the risk of dying. I guess it worked out for them. So maybe, you know what? That's an unrealistic part. There's my criticism.
I don't know about that. I don't know if that's unrealistic.
I don't think it's totally unrealistic either. That's just me jabbing at people that call this
unrealistic. I mean, I think, you know, he's got a gun on their boss who hasn't paid them in 4 months. I think they're kind of like, yeah, all right, whatever.
So there's a saying, which is, you know, if you owe the bank, like, let's say like $100,000 or not 100, like $10,000, that's your problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you owe the bank $100 million, that's the bank's problem. So I'm kind of thinking, like, is it their problem or is it his problem at this point? Like, he owes them so much money now at this point that it's kind of their problem. They need him stuck around.
I don't know.
What you're going with. But there's also allegiances. Again, I'm poking fun at the idea. There's a rationale that could have just shot him. But yeah, they submit. The ultimate reversal is underway. The double cross.
The double cross.
Sorry. Yes. The triple cross.
Yes.
After having Hawks restrained, Diane wants the key to take his money. And at this point, David destroys the key because that's what you wanted, right, Diane? And so this kind of turns into, he cites he destroyed it because that amount of money corrupts anyone.
Yeah.
Is that what Diane really wanted? And I would argue no. Because she could have destroyed the key the entire time. Either one of two things, right? One, she wanted his money.
Yeah.
Or B, she wanted his reputation to be through the mud. Or both.
Oh, yeah. She says that in my favorite scene. She says, you can have your money or your reputation, not both. So
exactly. So when David's like, that's what you wanted, right? It's like, well, not really. She could have done that the entire time, quite frankly. So now that the key's off the equation.
But now she gets to see Hawks' reaction to it, though, too, which is cool.
I guess. Yeah, that's true. And so she, with the only thing left remaining, she gets her revenge on Hawks the best way she can. You know, she kills him, has her say Charlotte's name, shows him the red car. Hawks is no more. The psychic employee of Hawks, they called her a psychic, right?
Yeah, they did, but I don't know why. I thought she was an opera singer.
Well, she's the psychic too.
Okay.
And
oh no, he didn't say psychic. He said sidekick.
Oh, sidekick.
Sidekick lady. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Sidekick lady can call off the hitmen. They're not even that loyal. They haven't been paid in months, so they'll do that. Then, while everything looks, you know, top of the world, Mr. Sal. We'll get into our predictions from last episode right now, actually. This is a good time to do so. At the end of last episode, I predicted that Joe would live, Azar would die, and this is a running prediction I had that we would see his family again, okay? So in my fairness, this is a prediction that's been going on for a while. I lost confidence last episode. I didn't even believe it. But, you know, you gotta be loyal. So I stuck with the prediction. Yeah. Mr. Sal's prediction was that Officer would live, Hawks would die, and that we would hear Officer's name.
I mean, I was so close. So you are
right now. Hawks has died. Everyone else is alive.
Yep.
David goes to leave. Officer joins, and they literally go, "Oh, you don't know my name." And even if she got another word out, you'd at least get something right. But Azar. Yep. Similar, and I'm not gonna get into why, but you can check out our coverage of Ozark. There's a character in there that we have for the final season of Ozark, season 4, we did a death lottery. Right? Is that what we called it?
I forgot what we called it. It wasn't a death lottery, but
we
survival series.
Survival series. Okay.
Yes.
We did a draft as to what characters that would survive the final season, because Ozark kills a lot of characters. And I, thankfully, one of my drafted characters, and it didn't matter that my drafted character did the killing, but whew, it racked me up quite a few points for Mr. Sal in one episode. I think just two. Still. This gave me flashback memories to that, because in that same episode, I don't know if you remember that in Ozark, you were up for the episode. My characters died. Within the reversal, two of yours died.
But you didn't have the killer, though. That wasn't the character
We
drafted.
You're right. Yeah. I did not even have the killer. You're completely right. Well, that is true. I did not have the killer.
Yeah.
But whatever. I get to do a coverage of it, so check out that.
Listen to that. That was fun. That was really fun.
So yeah, and I had the same moment here, because the second officer goes, "Oh yeah, my name." I'm like, "Oh man." He's going to be yucking it up. I'm like, this is the disgust. I was going to complain so much about how we learn officer's name. Like, this isn't what you'd expect. Like, everything's in there. Now she's just giving it away. But thankfully, Azar keeps the world at peace and shoots officer in the back. We never get to hear her name. And again, it's because she betrayed her family.
So we were both one for two.
Yes.
On the equally who lives, who dies.
Yeah, we were both equally wrong. So.
Yeah. I had the correct death.
You named two deaths. I named two lives.
Yeah. Exactly. But it was supposed to be a death and a live. So
it's just comical to me. You got both.
It's really
deaths.
Funny.
You could have picked really anyone else to live.
I know. Anybody. Literally anybody.
Like, out of the two, you could have just picked anyone else. It would have been all right.
I know.
You would have said officer to die, but
yeah.
And the closing song, by the way, I liked the closing song a lot.
It's so good.
It was very good.
Holy cow! I looked it up. It was higher than the stars or brighter than the stars.
I think it was close to the stars.
Closer to the stars. You're closer, right. Okay. And I can tell you in just a second who it's by. It was.
It was like G something. It was in the subtitles.
Oh man, where is it? Oh come on.
Oh,
never mind. Well, never mind. Well, Geneva.
Okay.
Yep.
Good song.
Really good song, and really good use of the song in this montage.
Oh, we ended off with a classic that we like. So David goes up the elevator, seemingly heartbroken, or at least shaken. We see a montage of all of those that have fallen. Maybe we get a cut through, and it ends with Azar burying officer, and she now rolls with Diane and Fixer, who visit Diane's family's grave.
Yeah.
They nod heads a lot. But I wrote down.
Me too. You're not wrong.
They had to get in the car. Fixer and Diane nod at each other. They look over.
Azar nods.
I need to get a job like that where I just do a head nod. It's like, mm-hmm. So we get the final scene of the episode, which is we're back in Canada. Joe is outside of the safe house where Jules and his family resides. He calls Jules saying he's fixed it and that it's over. They're safe. He doesn't tell Jules this. It's only after Jules asks where he is. He tells him, I'm outside, actually. Been outside for a while. And so if Jewel wants to come out, by all means, come out. So he goes out to see him. And really, Joe's ready for a breakup here. Listen, Jules, you're free to go. I totally get it. I'm sorry for everything done.
It's the right thing to do.
Exactly. That's why he says it's the right thing to do. It's all right for you to move on. That's why I came here. You can find someone better. Jules kind of also likes the safe house. It's a nice place. The kids love the trees.
The forest?
The forest.
A forest.
Ooh. And, okay, so Joe wants to do the right thing and Jules should move on. But Jules thinks, he agrees that may or may not be the right thing. But what do you want, Joe? Right thing aside.
Yeah. Well,
he wants to marry Jules and be a father to those children, of course.
Yeah.
That seals it.
Jules wants too.
And that's the end of the series. Probably.
Other than the money,
the end credit. But even the money stuff, I don't consider that in the series. Like that's them just going, hey, we didn't forget about this. Like that's to them, so that way you can't write in or like complain. Go, oh, they introduced all this money and did nothing with it. Kyle Bedrosian,
he found it.
That would be kind of funny. The shop front, man. What happened to that? There you go. Beautiful. And it was a great like end credit scene with the
it was.
It was cool. Like I imagine filming that. That's a wicked thing. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Great series. I'm very, very happy. I'm very happy with the ending. Like I'm
me too.
Very happy me too. With the series. This is an A-class series. This is
a very quality series, I think.
The only issue is that, you know, I get what people mean by unrealistic.
Okay.
Like even in this, like I get what people are meaning by that, but it's like how do you have fun watching any series though?
I'm not sure why you watch this series at all if that's the take you're gonna have. Exactly. On it. I mean,
yeah. But even the heist itself is like,
yeah, yeah.
Like who actually does heists like that? I guess.
I feel like it was very fair. But, you know, you watch a trailer for this, you read a description. I think you got what it was pitching. Like, I think that's what it gave you. I think you could watch those things and know I'm gonna have to suspend disbelief a little bit here. So
the one thing I could see people that I would give the most credence to is the idea that the box controls all of his money.
True.
Right? Like that feels like a bit of like a MacGuffin, right? Like this box has all his money, the magical, the secret box that we can't get into without only the key for all the money. That's it.
Yeah. No, he doesn't have his assets very liquidated. They're not in very liquid form. I'm not sure how he spends any money if all of it's locked in this box.
No, Jonah had a similar joke.
What's that?
In Ozark, they make a similar joke to this.
Oh, yeah. But it's like in order for him to access any of his money, he's got to like break this plaster block in a vault and get the key out. All right, fair enough. That's a bit of I
can agree with that, but again, it's like no, that's not the what's something we covered where we covered a series where we had this where it's like the point isn't about
that. I bet it was Mrs. Davis. Was it Mrs. Davis?
Might have been Mrs. Davis. It's because I talked to someone about the series and I was like, oh, I like the series, and their argument was, oh, it's very unreal. You know what it was actually? You're going to be sad to hear this. It was shrinking.
Really?
Yeah. Someone's criticism, I'll tell you it off the podcast, but someone's criticism was, it was very like, fantastical. Like, they agree that these are actual problems people go through and stuff, but it's just like the form by which it's happening and like all this, I guess the hilarity of it, like the humor.
Was it that, or was it they had a problem with the rogue psychiatrist?
I think it's a rogue psychiatrist, even though
which I get, but I don't care. That's not the
central point. Exactly. That's not the point of the series. That's what I argued to them. I don't think they finished this year. Like they only watched the first few episodes. Yeah. It's like that's not the point. Right? The point is not the rogue psychiatrist. The point here isn't the fact that that vault has all the money. I mean, it's like the story is so much more than that, right? It's just the MacGuffin, and I agree. You can definitely argue it's a poor MacGuffin. They probably could have done something else, sure. Like, maybe she got dirt on him or something else, but whatever. Like, it doesn't really affect it to me. I think it's fine.
I do, too. It's a cool-looking key, too.
It is. And then they make it all look cool, so it's great.
Yeah.
That's forgivable. The rule of cool.
I right? think so. So. Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, really, all we got to know is that he's a rich man, but he can't access his money because of something that she has. That's really the fact that it's a box and a key, like whatever, tied up in cryptocurrency. I don't care about any of that. Like she's got leverage over him. He can't access his money, and he's got a choice now: his money or his reputation.
Yeah,
That's all that matters to me. I don't care about the physical box and the key,
either. MacGuffins. I think that's become a thing. Stuff like that used to bother me more. So I understand that perspective. Like I used to.
Yeah.
It used to be why I wasn't that into fantasy and stuff. It's like, well, I mean, and actually, it's still kind of thing that bothers me in some fantasy, which is the issue with certain fantasy worlds is like everything can be like a MacGuffin, right? You can just invent whatever you want to do whatever you need, but you got to just spend that part. Like, that's just don't worry about it. Is that the point? So, well, let's see what the people at TV Time felt about this episode, Mr. Sal. What do you say?
I'd love to.
Ain't no time like a TV Time. All right. Well, TV Time. Hopefully they were more into this episode than the people of IMDb. I'm going to say a 5 if they made it this far.
Yeah, I agree. If they're still plugging ratings into TV Time at this point, I think they gave it a 5. They did. 61%.
Ooh, that feels lower.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? 23% on a 4. 3% on a 1. Wow. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. This is a good series. It breaks my heart. But I mean, it gives me Dexter New Blood vibes.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway. Seriously.
The people aren't getting it. Look at our coverage. We have that.
We are the enlightened ones.
Yeah, we have to be right. Because surely they're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay. As for the favorite character for the episode, I mean, I'd say Joe. For you and the listener, or not the listeners, the app user.
I say Joe for you and the users as well.
All right. You got me right.
You got the people. No, wait a minute. You got both the people and me wrong.
Is it officer?
No, Diane.
You both said Diane.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's actually fair.
I mean, that's what I was so impressed with this finale about. It wasn't because of Joe, it was because of Diane. It's like, oh my god, Diane has a cause. Oh my god, like Diane's got the tables turned on her. Like she's got a gun in her face and she's crying. Like that's a big deal, I thought. So anyway, I did say Diane. So did the users. 49%.
Ooh.
Barely squeaking it out over Joe at 42%.
I like that.
And guess who's in third?
Officer or no specialists. We got specialist fans.
Psycho. Specialist, yes. It's 5%. I think the problem that people have is there's not enough her in this series.
Yeah, that might be the big.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I didn't know her before this series, and she is on the poster, so maybe that's what people thought it was gonna be the her show and it wasn't.
You can't give everyone the poster plot armor though.
No, not in the series like this.
Not when there's that many people on the poster.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Although, yeah, 2 of them died. 3 of them died.
The officer died too, yeah.
Yeah, 3. Yeah, 3 died.
And eventually they're all going to die, so really.
Fair enough.
Well, that's, I mean.
Diane's on that poster twice, by the way.
She's the main character.
I guess I'm pretty sure Joe's the main character of the series, but I did like the I guess retrospectively they've got her on there twice, once with the mask, once without the mask, and I guess that does make some sense when you see this finale, like that she does have a mask that she wears to cover her emotions. So
that's
pretty cool.
That's the finale of Culprits. That's probably the end of Culprits, really.
I would be shocked if there's a season 2.
I have no idea what they would do. Like that, like so it would make no sense, I feel like. You just couldn't.
Yeah, so, I hope they don't do a season 2. Because this is a great ending.
This is a good series. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We'll have a recap next week, listeners, so we'll go back through everything. We'll chat about how we felt about some of the character deaths, as in like character we'll miss the most, character we'll miss the least, et cetera, most surprising death or most shocking death. I mean, we'll also have character superlatives. So like who's the goodest, who's the baddest, who's the most entertaining, who's the most interesting. We'll chat about the titles, and this is not a controversial take. I think a lot of series we've covered recently, including this one, not the world's best titles.
Yeah. Yeah,
the title game's been pretty weak. Seems pretty seems like a second.
I thought Artful Dodger had some really good titles. I thought all their titles were pretty good. But
Artful Dodger was alright. You're right. Artful Dodger was alright.
Murder at the End of the World and Bodies and maybe not so much.
Yeah, those were weaker, but you're right. Artful Dodger was better in that wheelhouse. So we'll be covering all that next week. Be there, check it out. In the meantime though, while you're listening to this, episode 8, we have premiering this week, The Regime. If I'm not mistaken, right? So check that out. It's a series about a new dictatorship. Not real, though.
Obviously. No, I don't think it's real. Yeah.
Fictional dictatorship.
Yeah.
Starring Hugh Grant.
Well, starring Kate Winslet. And Hugh Grant's in it, too.
I just thought Hugh Grant's in it.
So, Kate Winslet, one of my favorites. I love Kate Winslet. I'm very excited for the series.
It's only 6 episodes long, so not a particularly long watch. Check it out. We'll be covering
on
it.
HBO and Max.
Ooh. Is that still a thing? Do you still say HBO?
You do, believe it or not. It's on the poster, yes, because if you can still, you know, if you have a cable subscription, you can get an HBO subscription, and it is on HBO. But so it's an HBO and Max series.
So check that out. And then after the recap next week, I'll reveal what our next series is replacing this one. I'll look forward to that as well. But definitely go check out The Regime. In more recent history, we've talked about all these episodes, but Artful Dodger, Bodies, A Murder at the End of the World, and Shrinking. Bill did. That's long ago. We've even mentioned The Old Man. Throwing out a few more things out there.
Better Call Saul and Ozark, we've mentioned in this episode.
Dexter New Blood,
yeah.
So I'll throw out one more thing. Out of Range. Mostly because they've announced a season 2 that's coming
out
in the relatively near future. So expect May. So expect that coming to Show Hoppers. So check out season 1. We did season 1. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to contact us, showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. You can email us there. Please share the podcast, subscribe. You can leave reviews. We appreciate all of that. Or check out our back catalog, as aforementioned. And in the meantime, check out The Regime, and next week will be the recap. So thank you so much for listening.
Shoehammer some show hoppers into your day.